Well, that weekend sure put the Wild in wild card. Welcome to this wild card edition of Overreaction Monday. Rich Eisen alongside Chris Brockman.
What's up, buddy?
Holy
my goodness.
Cow.
What a weekend.
We almost went 5 for 5 in one score games, tight games, so many different metrics that are on my stat, in my stat pack right here in front of me to tell you just how crazy this past weekend was. I'll just throw a couple out.
I mean, I can't wait. I'm all ears.
Most games decided by fewer than 5 points in a single playoff round in NFL history, the 2025 wild card round. And this is before even the Monday night game between the Texans and the Steelers set a record with 4 such games. 4 of the 5 wild card games going into the Monday night featured a team win by a team trailing with less than 3 minutes to go in the fourth quarter.
Wow.
Yep. That's correct. The Colby Parkinson touchdown for the Rams, the DJ Moore touchdown for the Bears, the 1 yard Josh Allen touchdown for the Bills, the Christian McCaffrey receiving touchdown for the 49ers. That's the most such wins in a single postseason all time. That's how wild the wild card weekend was.
What was your favorite play of those?
Out of all the 4 of the winners?
Yeah, those game-winning touchdowns. Oh, which one was the McCaffrey, obviously?
No. The McCaffrey one, this wasn't the one that he caught on the trick play.
That wasn't the trick play.
No, this was just the one where he, Purdy was given way too much time, and McCaffrey's uncoverable inside the 5 yard line.
I guess it was the Parkinson one.
Yeah,
when
he grabbed it and pirouetted and scored at the same time. Yeah. All right, so clearly there's lots to overreact to, and it's time now to hit it. Hit it, please.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction Mondays.
Monday. All right, Christopher, what do you have over
Rich,
there?
Rich, I want to start in Chicago. Man, I'm so happy for all my Bears fans, friends, and at the same time, gutted for my Packers buddies. But it's Caleb Williams' world, and we're living in it right now.
Yeah.
That man is going to win more Super Bowls in his career than every current NFC North quarterback combined.
Well, you got Goff, you got Love, and you got I don't think that's an overreaction. Here's the thing. Kurt Warner kind of nailed it when we talked about this game on NFL Game Day morning on Sunday morning, which is when Caleb Williams mixes in the accuracy to his remarkable escapability and remarkable ability to throw on the run. It's just watch out. It's all he said. Just watch out. Because again, here's the thing about him that at least, prior to Saturday night's game, when he misses, he usually hits the Gatorade jug, not the opposition. But there were multiple turnovers by him on this night. Many, I think one because it was a fourth down because his coach went for it
on
so many times.
Down.
It made Dan Campbell blush wherever he was sitting watching this game.
We'll get to that.
But this throw, I believe, we're seeing right here on the screen. It may not be this one, but it kind of looks like it in
the
a way.
Dunze fourth down.
The 4th and 8 throw.
Unbelievable, man.
Where he is escaping the pocket and the pass rush to his left. Going to his left, and Adunze is going from his right to his left as well. But for Caleb Williams to jump in the air and still have the ability to get whatever hip torque he needs without the benefit of his feet, without the benefit of gravity, and find the ability to not only make that throw as deep down the field as it was, but over the defender and accurately finding Roma Dunze to convert a 4th and 8. This was one of those. This wasn't the moment where they were down just one score. This was an 11-point game.
Mm-hmm.
This was after Matthew Golden scored his first career touchdown. What a perfectly timed moment that was for him and the Packers.
Right.
Only to have McManus miss one of his 3 kicks on the night. This was the extra point being missed. For Williams to make that moment happen was the moment so far, I think, of his entire career. And that includes, beating the Packers in overtime. That includes any of the comeback wins prior to this. And I know he made another throw to DJ Moore to actually score points. But had he not made that play, had he been sacked, had he not been accurate enough.
Feels like the game's over.
It would have been. It would have been. Well, I mean, you can't say that with the Chicago Bears.
I guess not.
Never
but,
over.
But still.
But so to sit here and say he's going to win more Super Bowls combined than anybody else that's currently playing quarterback in the NFC.
I'm saying he's got a little bit more juice than these other guys.
No, I think that's without question.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Jordan Love threw 4 touchdown passes and no interceptions and lost that game. Okay.
Yeah,
and part of the reason why is because Caleb does what he does. The team believes that there's no deficit from which they can't
come
back. Yeah,
they're never dead.
It was a 13-point deficit that they trailed going into the fourth quarter against the Packers in week 16. This was 15 this time around. And the Packers have got to sit here and go, really? What more do we have to do? Well, score more points in the third quarter, make it too large a deficit from which to come back.
I
guess those are the ways they're going to have to attack the Bears moving forward. And the same goes for everyone else in the division, if not the whole conference. And we'll find out over the next 3 weeks if it's the whole league right now. Now it's the Rams coming into Chicago. And I would proffer to say go up more than 15 now. That's the new, that's the new floor. That's the new floor. You know what I mean? Because the ceiling is unlimited right now.
Yeah.
So I don't think this is
Love
an overreaction
Caleb,
start.
Happy for him. Happy
I get
for
what
Bears
you're
fans.
Saying is what I'm saying.
Thank you.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You,
yes, sir.
You get me. You get me. Let's go to the other shocking result in the NFC. San Francisco goes into Philly, takes out the defending champs.
Yes,
and Kyle Shanahan, he's been my punching bag for a long time, Rich, but he proved he should be coach of the year with that win in Philly on Sunday.
Well, listen, you know, I always have an issue having these, you know, having you bring this sort of stuff up in this construct in the playoffs, because it's a regular season award.
Totally get it.
It is the regular season. And
he did it there too.
I understand he did it there too. So did your coach in New England, by the way.
I agree with you.
There's many great cases, but I will just throw this out here just to pick up what you're putting down once again.
Oh, what I'm saying is he's coaching his ass off.
He is. I understand that. And if that's what you're saying, then that's not an overreaction at all. You know, coach of the year, he's worthy of it. Liam Cohn was worthy of it.
True.
Ben Johnson, who we just mentioned, is worthy
of it. Yeah, maybe the deepest coach of the year class that we've ever had.
I agree. But so this is a perfect way to put it. And I'll read this from an exchange involving our buddy Albert Breer, who was texting this to a group here, with the money manager of the Stars, Don Weir, is that here you go. Kyle Shanahan this year with the San Francisco 49ers lost Charvarius Ward. He lost Floyd, Collins, Debo, Hargrave, Hufanga, Greenlaw, Banks in the offseason. Those are all gone in the offseason.
Right.
They took a massive dead cap hit that approached 9 figures. Lost Bosa and Warner to injury, played a large part of the season without Purdy and Kittle. Ayuk never showed up.
Wow.
Okay. Kittle's now out again.
Yep.
God bless it. Can the football gods stop taking some of the best and also humans off the field? So it's going to be minus Kittle the rest of the way.
Yep.
And he went into Philadelphia and with his team after they got spanked by the Seattle Seahawks. And he basically said, we're going to embrace the S out of this opportunity, even though the opportunity we had to be off wildcard weekend and then have everybody come into our house got squandered by his team. Well, I mean, got beaten out of his team by the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah,
let's put it that way.
Good way to put it.
For them to regroup, go into Philadelphia, do what they were doing defensively against this Philadelphia offense that, again, missing a gear. And I know everyone's going to blame it on 15 different people, but number one, the offensive coordinator and Kevin Petullo, who has been front and center mm-hmm. in Philadelphia as the scourge of this offensive scheme, that they were able to, without all of these defensive players, go ahead and keep the Eagles within striking distance for Shanahan to pull that trick play out of his bag.
Unreal.
From Juwan Jennings to Christian McCaffrey with an over-the-shoulder grab to take a lead, and then McCaffrey to take another touchdown grab and give the 49ers the margin of difference to move on, is Unbelievable. And Kyle Shanahan, as you mentioned, coached his ass off. And now they're a Final Four team. And I proffer to say this. They're going to go into Seattle, where they went in week one. And I understand everyone's going to be like, they don't have Kittle. Just look up who caught the game-winning touchdown.
Right.
It was a tight end not named Kittle. It was Jake Tonjes.
Yeah, Kittle played one drive in that game.
And so it's just part and parcel of everything else.
Yep.
They did get Trent Williams back, which is monumental. So Niners absolutely have a chance. They have a chance to still go on and do what everyone thought they needed the bye week to do, which is get to the Super Bowl in their own building.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable, but to say he should be coach of the year, if we're extending this into the current state of affairs, as I mentioned, the possible candidates for coach of the year also include Sean Payton and Mike McDonald, who got their bye weeks, but Liam Cohen's the only one who didn't win this weekend. Ben Johnson won, and also so did your guy Vrabel, who absolutely coached his behind off as well. So I'll call that a little bit of an overreaction,
okay.
But everything else,
okay,
you just got to give it up for Kyle.
Got to give it up. All right, let's talk a little bit about the AFC East. Bills, Josh Allen, unquestioned the best player in the NFL, proved it in Jacksonville, and the Patriots went defensive and gutted out a big win at home on Sunday night.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
They're on a collision course, Rich. We're getting a third Bills-Patriots game this season for the AFC Championship.
Again, this is not an overreaction also. I mean, like, we're in the point of no return of anybody can win this thing right now. Certainly, if you didn't believe the Panthers really had a shot to go all the way and they gave the Rams everything the Rams could handle and they're now out, or you did not believe Jacksonville could truly go on a run, despite going into the playoffs on an 8-game win streak, if you really thought the Jaguars were just hitting a ceiling by winning 8 in a row going into the playoffs, they're now gone.
Yeah, you and I both picked Jacksonville
this week. If you thought the Los Angeles Chargers, because of their lack of protection for Justin Herbert, were way too injured a team to go on a run from the 7th seed, if you thought the Packers were way too injured to go on a run from the 7th seed, those teams are all gone. Every single team that remains, and I think that does include the two teams playing on Monday Night Football, because you can't look at a Steelers team that's got Rodgers as a quarterback going into the playoffs, and you've got all those guys on defense who can ball out and affect a game for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Anybody could go on a run right now. You could give me pretty much any championship game setup in both conferences, and I can't sit here and go, you're out of your mind.
Yeah.
You know, so honestly, this guy going into Denver,
he could do it himself.
He just did in a way.
He's just so awesome. Honest, man.
But he, every single time he targeted Khalil Shakir, he caught it.
Yep.
So maybe some one time, with the exception of a ball that hit Cooks as it was diving, you know, nose diving towards the ground, he couldn't corral it. He made a ton of catches. Play and they just won without James Cook running the football.
50 total yards, I think, for James Cook. 51.
So they could go into Denver 100% win that game. Whoever wins on Monday Night Football, the Patriots could absolutely beat at home. And then all of a sudden, you've got an AFC Championship game in Gillette between two teams playing for a third time. I would basically tell you this as a Patriot fan. You don't want to see that. Out of all the other...
Oh, really? You don't think so?
Good Lord.
I beat him in their place and was up 21-0.
I got it.
I would feel good about that.
Oh, you would. You'd rather obviously have a home game than have to go to Denver.
Exactly. Okay. That's kind of my rationale there.
All right.
I'd rather have Buffalo again at home.
Understood. I don't think this is an overreaction at all. I mean, it's entirely possible that could happen. The only bummer for the weekend for... Bills fans is that the Chargers did not win on Sunday Night Football, which means they've played their last home game in their old stadium.
Right.
That stadium is now done. So they cannot host an AFC championship game against Jim Harbaugh's Chargers. That said, the whole concept of, okay, no Burrow, no Mahomes, no Lamar, it's Josh Allen's time. It's potentially, you know, C.J. Stroud, Bo Nix, and Drake May standing in his way, as opposed to Lamar, Mahomes, or Burrow. Could be Rodgers. I don't know. You know, the Bills could wind up going to Pittsburgh for an AFC championship game, which would be wild.
Yeah, I'm with you. Anything's possible. I wouldn't.
All of it's on the table. I'm not sitting here going, the Patriots aren't beating the winner of Houston and Pittsburgh. Or I sit here and go, hey, great job going to Jacksonville. Great job pulling that one out.
Right.
But going to Denver and one and dunning the Broncos, that's not happening. Who could say such a thing? That's kind of off. That would be an overreaction.
Yeah.
This is totally doable.
Bills Broncos rematch of last year's playoffs in Buffalo. All right, Rich, enough with all the fun, mushy, happy, positive stuff. Both the Packers and Eagles should have new coaches next year. Let's just be honest. No, what are we doing? What are these guys doing?
No, I wouldn't be surprised if you got a new offensive coordinator in Philadelphia again, which I totally understand why the Eagles would be betwixt and between to change offensive coordinators again. I mean, Jalen Hurts, it's absurd how Shane Steichen is the only guy who's coached him, coordinated an offense for him in back-to-back years since high school. And this guy on the screen, I know every single time that he doesn't get the offensive coordinator pick right, it lands on his lap. He's not going to get fired from Philadelphia.
At what point do you say the chaos and the commotion and all the drama, it's not worth it anymore?
But it's Philadelphia. It's
so what? It doesn't have
part
to
of
be
the noise.
Like that.
I know it doesn't have to be like that.
I mean, Big Dom, I think, had more catches than A.J. Brown yesterday.
Look at you.
Like, what is going on with these guys?
I don't know. And obviously, when A.J. Brown doesn't catch the ball and the head coach goes up to him and starts yelling at him, regardless of if it was, hey, it's time to get off the field, we're trying to punt, why are you, you know, lollygagging off the field? He's got to know, like, there's 30 million cameras of Fox on him, and it's going to be interpreted that he just barked at his number one receiver for not catching a football. And if you wanted to do that at all, maybe not. It wasn't the one that he didn't grab and led to this moment on the sideline that went viral. It might have been that one over the middle in that final drive late in the game that he clearly should have had in his mitts and could not. Kind of reeked of the Alshon Jeffrey drop in the playoff game in New Orleans those years ago when they were trying to defend their title and had a chance to do so. Listen, I don't think the Eagles are going to have a new head coach, and I don't think the Packers should either.
Really?
Know? Oh, my gosh, dude. I'll just say here,
that second and third quarter was a masterclass of trying not to lose and coaching, not even conservatively. That doesn't even put it well.
I know they could have gotten more points and should have, 100% should have. But Matt LaFleur is 47 years old. He's also a guy that has institutional knowledge of your building and your fan base. And I will just say that, and plus he's a terrific offensive mind, as well as you might sit here and think it didn't happen well enough there. But for anybody that's out there in Packer country that's looking at John Harbaugh, okay, and
they
saying
all
we
should, I think.
Let's get him in here, all right? So let me ask you this question. John Harbaugh is no longer in Baltimore because the offense would frequently disappear. He didn't win it all with his MVP-type quarterback. And sometimes there will be head-scratching offensive decisions that come out of nowhere. You want to now switch this guy out for that guy? Really? Because he's new. Just stay the course is all I'm saying on this front. What else you got, Chris?
All right. You know who it was a really good weekend for, Rich? Mike McDaniel. Really great weekend for him.
I'm with you.
He's going to be an OC for one of these losing wild card teams in 2026.
The issue for that is Mike McDaniel has every right to go through the head coaching interview process.
For sure.
Okay. So if you are Mike McDaniel, why would you jump ship out of that right now to take an offensive coordinator position that's potentially offered to you until that head coaching cycle is complete. And some of these head coaching cycles may not be complete until late January, early February, right? So what are you going to do? You're going to wait till he gets through his head coaching opportunities, and now he's going to reach out and say, all right, I'm available now for your offensive coordinator position. And then you'll fire your offensive coordinator then? Is that what you're going to do? Or if you're, say, Philadelphia, if you're, say, you're the Chargers, right?
Those would be two great spots.
Okay. Then what are you going to what are you going to do? Fire them and then wait for him? The timing is going to be a little dicey, but absolutely, if you know, you're let's just say you're Jim Harbaugh and you're looking for something a little bit more exotic, okay?
No, we're going to get to that next.
Okay, you're looking for something more exotic and you're looking for something that also comes off the run game, then he's your guy. Unless he wants to be head coach somewhere else and you're like, I don't know if I'm going to utilize my spot so you can get your head coaching gig and then you're out of here in a year. Like, what's the commitment? It's not as cut and dried as is what I'm saying, but
I feel that
absolutely he's the guy that you're looking for. Cliff Kingsbury, pardon me, once he gets through everything, he's looking for head coaching jobs. I mean, all these guys who are, you'd say he'd be a perfect offensive coordinator, think in their mind's eye, and as well they should, I'd be a perfect head coaching candidate somewhere. So that's makes sense. Like, and it's not even the wild card teams, you know. Don't you think Dan Campbell would love to snag him for the Detroit Lions? Their offensive coordinator gig's already open.
That's true.
That's already done. So yeah, he's quite the candidate, and I think it makes sense, but he's going to go through his own process first, and that might not sync up well enough for some people who are looking to make an offensive coordinator hire. So it's not as cut and dried as you think, but that makes complete sense to me for sure.
Yeah, very good weekend for him. I think his price tag went up a little bit. All right, Rich, let's talk about the Chargers, man. It was not good on Sunday night, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Look, I know they're dealing with some injuries, but they need a new offensive philosophy or risk never winning a playoff game with Justin Herbert.
They're never going to get a new offensive philosophy. Their new offensive philosophy is the same old offensive philosophy that's gotten Jim Harbaugh places to win a championship at the University of Michigan, to take the San Francisco 49ers to the Super Bowl. And I know that's the past, and this is now the newfangled future of the National Football League, running the football, playing defense, and getting some opportunistic splash plays from your terrific quarterback is going to win Super Bowls. It's just that simple. You hold on to the ball, you take the ball away, you get your superhero quarterback protected, off you go. The San Francisco 49ers back in the day took that Jim Harbaugh offense with Colin Kaepernick to the Super Bowl and damn near won the thing. Michigan did it. You know, Stanford turned things around. I mean, it's tried and true. It's just maybe having a little bit more of a wrinkle, that nobody's expecting, and a fresh set of eyes on the same concept of controlling the line of scrimmage, playing defense, not turning the ball over. That may be what the doctor orders for the Chargers. I don't know. That said, having Rashawn Slater go down without a single snap of football played sucked. Having Joe Alt go down, come back, then go down for the rest of the year as your left tackle after moving from right tackle sucked. Their offensive line up front, you could see the Pro Football Focus rankings during the introductions.
Oh, yeah.
Many of them were DFL or close to DFL on all of that. Omarion Hampton had an injury-marred rookie season. Let's see what he can do if he's going to come out of the gate nice and healthy. Maybe they do get another offensive weapon outside for Justin Herbert. And a new offensive coordinator, as you know, Greg Roman was with Jim all those years ago in San Francisco. He went to Baltimore for John. Ravens fans were sick and tired of him by the end of his run. And Jim snagged him for the Chargers, and they've won 11 games twice in a row and then got one and done in the playoffs. Last year, it was a flurry of interceptions, four of them, and this year was 3 points, one fewer point than interceptions that Herbert threw last year. I'm not going to throw this on Herbert that he's not a big-game quarterback.
Really?
Yeah, I will.
Really? He's not Carson Wentz with a better PR team?
What about the fact that he wasn't protected, Chris? He's not protected.
Lots of quarterbacks aren't protected.
I get it.
Drake May hasn't been very protected. This? Caleb Williams.
You know, he needs to be like Josh Allen, I guess. Yeah. What you're pointing out. So maybe a different offensive coordinator will be the answer. And he's going to be sitting at home with, you know, getting that broken left hand all healed up. And, you know, last year he said it was terrible sitting on the four interceptions. It's going to just be another long offseason sitting on the 3 points. But, you know, if Jim says it's his job to get Justin Herbert to the Hall of Fame, everything I just laid out from get healthy, that should be good enough to at least improve your lot from this year. Go in the draft and get some dynamic players. Get yourself a dynamic guy who can maybe be the joker of the situation, or could be one of those Jahmyr Gibbs type guys to go with somebody like Omarion Hampton. Go ahead and maybe get yourself a new offensive coordinator. Those are things that I think are feasible for the Chargers. But a new offensive philosophy, you're going to have to get a new head coach for that.
Hmm. I think Jim might have to reset his dream for Herbert. Let's just win a playoff game.
I mean, and then you can go from
then
there.
Then we can build.
I get
then
it.
We can build.
Okay. I get it.
All right, two more, Rich.
Sure.
This thing, and I'm sure you've noticed, and I think you agree with me, it's been driving me insane all weekend. Analytics, schmanalytics. Oh, these coaches need to kick field goals. Take free points when they're just given to you.
I'm glad
Take
you
them.
Said it.
Take them.
Okay. I got the numbers for you right here.
I knew you would.
Because I was going to do it for the flagship show.
I knew you would.
I'll unpack it right here. Teams in the wild card round so far have made half of their fourth down conversions. 26 times they've gone for it on fourth down. They've made half of it. 6 conversions on 9 attempts in their own territory. When you don't get it in your own territory, it flips the field. It, you know, I mean, Panthers fans today are like, if we only punted the ball instead of went for it on our first set of downs in our own end zone, on our own end, and then give the Rams a short field, and the Rams took advantage of that, and that was points that I'm sure the Panthers would love to
it felt
take
like a
off
free
the board.
7 points for the Rams.
30. And here's the thing, though. It flips momentum when the other team stops you on fourth down.
Yep.
Okay. So you're thinking momentum might be already against you because you're punting. Sure. That makes sense. A defense getting off the field feels good about itself. The offense coming back on feels good about its defense. It's a great team mentality. You don't want to punt. I get it.
If you pin them inside the 10, inside the 5, that's a momentum for you as well.
And I just understand this, analytics folks. I understand every word out of my mouth right now is like nails on a chalkboard, because I don't have the numbers that you say you have in terms of win probability and all that nonsense. All I know, and it is nonsense as far as I'm concerned, to have that be the entirety of your North Star when it's time to win football games in the playoffs, when punting is okay and taking points is even better than okay. You take points, you put them on the board, you begin to amass them. And in the fourth quarter, it gives you an opportunity to make kick a field goal instead of needing a touchdown to win. All right? The number of times that a team did not get their fourth down, okay, is the same number of times as teams that did. 13 times people went for it. And got it. 13 times people went for it and didn't get it. That's the math there.
That's good. 50%.
13, 26, 50%. 31 points were scored off of turnovers on downs. 31. Every single time if you punted and took the points, do you know how many points they would have gotten? Zero. They would have gotten 0 points on you. Instead, you're giving out 31. Where's that in the metrics? Okay. Buffalo scored a touchdown after the Jaguars went for it deep in Buffalo's end. They've not only flipped the field, they marched down the field and scored. Green Bay, Rams, Carolina, and a field goal by New England were all points scored off of turnovers on downs. That time that New England marched down the field after Jim didn't take the points, I was stunned he didn't take the points.
But then he did do it the second time.
He did do it the second time.
Yep.
But if they had gone up 3-0, we've scored first in New England.
Yep.
We have the lead. Go play defense.
Yep.
Instead, you say, I'm going to go for it. Could have been up 7-0. But instead, it's now no score. And that clearly, you know, did he think that Ramondre Stevenson on one snap would get the ball to midfield?
Yeah.
It's the most fourth down attempts and tied for the most conversions in a single playoff round since at least 1991. That's as far back as they have for data. Take that for data. Most points off turnovers on downs in a single playoff round since 2000. Take the points, flip the field, play field position. Amass points, rely on your defense. I get it. There are times when it makes sense to go for it. You're, 2 yards and in, 1 yard and in, you're inches, depending on the field position, depends on the time on the clock. I'm not saying never do it. I understand that there are analytics that say go for it here, and that means you're enhancing your chance to win. But in the playoffs, my North Star would be take the points.
Yeah.
Flip the field, play the long game. Why are we playing it like you're a 13-year-old hopped up on a bag of Skittles playing video games? I don't understand it. It makes no sense. It makes zero sense. And in the case of Ben Johnson and the Chicago Bears, Mr. Good, better, best, and making the city feel great. And I totally get what he's doing in terms of the red meat.
I mean, it's working.
And what he's saying, it's working. But if Caleb didn't pull it out of his own ass, we would be talking about what he did on fourth down.
1 for 5 or something to start the game on fourth down?
The Bears.
Is that what it was?
The Bears went 2 for 6 overall on going for it on fourth down.
Yeah.
And they led the weekend in going for it on fourth down in their own territory. They were 2 for 3 in their own territory. And the one time that they weren't led to points for Green Bay. I don't understand it. And it will bite someone in the ass. It will. Do you know the only team that did not go for it on fourth down at all on Wild Card Weekend was the San Francisco 49ers. Not at all. He was playing. He's taking the points and playing the long game.
Yeah. Well, he's learned from his past mistakes.
Maybe so.
I think
it makes for a better coach.
Yeah.
You got one more?
Last one. We're going to hear a lot about John Harbaugh this week.
We should.
Maybe,
he's a terrific coach.
Maybe a new landing spot for him. It seems like it. No matter where he ends up, Rich Eisen, John Harbaugh will win more games than the Ravens next year.
Oh, I don't know about that. You think if he winds up with the Giants, he's going to flip the Giants around to the point where they're going to win more than the Baltimore Ravens, who almost won their division?
Baltimore Ravens won 8 this year.
I understand.
You don't think the Giants can win 10 games next year?
This is the reason
why Falcons can win 11?
One of the reasons why the Ravens are – listen, look at every job that's open. Is there an MVP quarterback that's sitting there ready to be coached up? Anybody? Bueller? Come on now. Even if the Packers do something, which I think is insane.
Packers have an MVP quarterback.
Yeah, but he didn't win one.
He didn't win two. The Eagles have a possible one.
The Eagles aren't firing their coach.
Well, they should think about it.
Dude, the Ravens are a terrific team with a terrific roster that for various reasons didn't play.
Underachieving.
And that's part of the reason why John Harbaugh's on the street. And I totally understand franchises that need somebody as a culture changer, adult in the room, and a terrific molder of men and a player's coach, this is your guy. The Giants would be so fortunate to get this guy. It would be off the charts. I understand Packers fans think that they should fire their guy to get this guy. I already explained to everybody that thinks Matt LaFleur isn't all of that. Every single reason you feel about Matt LaFleur, it dovetails with the reasons why Ravens fans were happy that John Harbaugh is gone. You understand? Like every single thing that John Harbaugh led to drive Ravens fans mad is exactly why Packers fans want Matt LaFleur gone. The Giants have a different story. They need somebody to come in and say, this is the way we're doing it. They need somebody to come in and say, this is the way we're doing it because I've already done it before. They need to have somebody who's like, I've coached in the Super Bowl. I've coached an MVP quarterback twice, damn near a third time. I know how to run the football. I know how to win big football games. I know how to win playoff games. I've done it. Let me just be, you go shop for the groceries. Let me even include me in that process because I know what I'm doing. The Giants would die for this guy. The Falcons, it's another one, right? On and on and on and on and on. But the Ravens are still a terrific football team. And you get the right guy in there with the right offensive coordinator in there and let it go. I mean, again, the reason why you're hearing Cliff Kingsbury is no longer the OC in DC is because one of the things I read, Dan Quinn thought that his offense was too college type oriented of an offense. Okay. And they want to do more of a pro set type of offense in Washington, D.C. with
the Ravens
Jaden
might need a little college offense.
Bingo. Bingo. You put Cliff Kingsbury in there if he's not an HC somewhere
else. I think he did an interview with them today.
Well, but even if he's not their HC, I'm telling you, this is Jesse Minter's job. Jesse Minter's now free. I'm telling you, this is what it sounds like to me. And I haven't spoken a word to him or the Ravens. It just reeks of Jesse Minter's gig. Okay? Or, you know, it'd be kind of wild. I don't think that this would happen. Anthony Weaver's the DC in Miami. Maybe you bring him up there. And the guy who was his HC this year, you bring him in as the OC. I don't know how that dynamic would work. But crazier things are happening in the NFL than I've ever seen before.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about that.
And would it be wild if the Giants turn around or the Falcons turn around or anybody who hires John Harbaugh? If he goes to Tennessee because he likes Cam Ward a lot and he just wants to live in Nashville with his wife and his family and he kind of digs maybe moving to Tennessee and he wants to take that job and it's an AFC South that he feels is more winnable than any other division that he'd be entering, maybe he does that. The Ravens are going to win more games than the Titans next year, pal. I just don't know if he wants to take on such a reclamation project like that. The Ravens are not rock bottom. Come on, man.
No, they're in the middle, which is where you don't want to be.
I understand that. Or they're in the middle because you thought that they needed a new voice. And the new voice comes in with a new way of looking at it offensively, and off you go. This is an overreaction, as much as I believe in any Harbaugh, as you know. Okay, Christopher.
Booyah.
That was crazy.
It was crazy, man. It was awesome.
Unbelievable.
And it's just like, man, what is Monday? I know you might listen to this after the Steelers and Texans game, but what is going to happen in Pittsburgh?
Well, most likely it's going to be a one-score game where somebody comes back from and wins it in the last 3 minutes, because that's the way every other game in the wild card round, with the exception of the Patriots win over the Chargers, that's the way the wild card weekends went. Unreal. So I think we just covered it all.
Unreal.
From soup to nuts to the way games were won to the fourth down conversions to coaching carousels and so much more. Check out the Rich Eisen Show all week long to get you ready for the divisional playoffs. There's also No Contest Wrestling wherever you get your podcasts. That's the way we're rolling here on the program. For Chris, I'm Rich. Peace out, everybody.